Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things. There's several all things in here, aren't there? He is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. That in all things he might have the preeminence. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd bless as we continue forward with this study. And thank you, Lord, for this little phrase, Lord, that we find scattered throughout the Bible. And thank you for the truths that are represented, Lord, by these phrases and, Lord, by these verses that we're studying. So help us, dear God, to just kick off the brand new year. Help us, Lord, to be able to hit some reset buttons and make sure, dear God, that we're building upon a rock, dear God, and not upon sand. And so, Lord, help us as we are reminded of the principles and precepts of the Bible, Lord, that we will affirm them and we will hold fast to them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Thank you very much. Good, good. Sunday morning, I gave you kind of six what I would call general all-inclusive truths. And each and every one of these truths come from a Bible verse that contains the phrase, all things. And the six things that we covered Sunday morning was the Bible is right in all things. Psalms 119, God can work all things together for good. Thank you, Lord, for that. Romans 8:28, we are to give God thanks for all things. Ephesians 5:20, we can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. Philippians 4:13, although with men some things are possible. Number five, although with men some things are impossible, with God all things are possible. And then the sixth one, because God can do the impossible, we should take all things to him in prayer. We covered those Sunday morning, and I called them the six general all-inclusive truths. And then Sunday night, we got into more of a personal thing, individual thing, six personal all-inclusive truths. We started out with 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Once you are saved, God wants to make all things become new. And then the rest of these were, I think, truths or precepts that helps that to happen in our life. So number seven of the 18 we're covering, once you are saved, Christ wants to make all things become new. So number eight, how does God help us with that? Number eight, the Lord is all knowing. He knows all things about me. And again, just being reminded of that helps us to become this new creature in Jesus Christ, because all of a sudden we shift, you know, our attention and our focus from, you know what we do or don't do depending on what people see, and instead it becomes in the eyes of God, and that helps us to do the right things. And then number nine, our heart is deceitful above all things and should not be trusted. And I'm not going to reteach that, but folks, that's such an important point. And you know, when I have people tell me, you know, I'm following my heart, or sometimes this is even funnier, well, I'm just following my gut. I don't even know what to say about that, but anything I say is going to be wrong. So, all right. So I got an idea. Why don't you follow the Bible? Amen. Hey, that's just a wild suggestion, okay? Why don't you, if your gut don't match the Bible, I don't know why the gut is more important than the Word of God, but okay, what, you know what? Whatever you do, amen? And then number 10, if you want to master the Christian life, you must become temperate in all things. Boy, that was such an important truth, folks. You know, when we talk about, you know, the heart, we're talking about deceitfully wicked, and our heart is, it can be a problem. We got to be careful with that. And then this is talking more on temperance, talking about our body and bringing it under subjection. And you know, folks, you know, what, I didn't even cover all of it that was in my notes, but, you know, what about this matter of, you know, look at the different members of the body God warns us again. Reread James chapter 3. And you know, folks, this little thing right here has gotten us in so much trouble. And we need to, you know what? Temperance, self-control, self-restraint. You know, not everything pops in your head ought to come out of your mouth. Okay? And so restraining our tongue, restraining our appetites, Proverbs 23, restraining, come on, young people, our hormones. How about this? For this is the will of God. Everybody's like, I just wish I could find the will of God. I just want to know the will of God. Okay, here you go. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. That's the will of God, okay? Every one of you should know how to possess his vessel, that's your body, in sanctification and honor. Not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. And so can't spend a lot more time on that. But boy, these are good. These are so helpful for us. Number 11, we should be willing to suffer the loss of all things that we might better know Christ and win his favor. Philippians 3:8, such a powerful verse. Yea, doubtless I count all things. Well, I'm glad, God, you chose the Apostle Paul to write this one. Because you know what? He chose a man who was willing to do it. You think of what Paul walked away from and what he sacrificed so that he could become a follower of Jesus Christ. I mean, he went from Saul to Paul. You talk about the loss of all things. And then number 12, godliness is profitable unto all things. And folks, you know what? If it's doubtful, you know, then what in the world? What are you doing? And you know, if you'll err on the side of right, you'll err on the side of holiness, you'll never err. And so if anything's questionable going into a brand new year, best thing to do is I'm just going to get all the way over here where I know, you know, it's right, it's safe, there's no question about it. And that's a great way to live your Christian life. Now, tonight is very interesting because as I accumulated and gathered these truths that from the verses that include the phrase all things, I was amazed by how many of them apply to the local New Testament church. And so the six we're going to cover tonight, and I saved these on Wednesday because this is kind of the church. This is the gathering of the core members of the church on Wednesday night. Six church-related, all-inclusive truths. First two will hit, won't take very long, but boy, they are important, probably the most important things I'll say tonight are the first two. Number one, Jesus Christ should have preeminence in the church in all things. In all things. And we read that tonight. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. One of my heroes, and I made John the Baptist one of my heroes early on in my life, especially in my preaching life. I just love John the Baptist. There's a reason Jesus said, he's the greatest of all the prophets. And if you look at John, you know, he was a man that preached a powerful message and preached with boldness. But he was also such a humble man, a meek man. And you know what? He didn't have any desire to promote himself. He just wanted to be the man that stood there and pointed a finger and say, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. And you know, he's the one that said, hey, I'm not worthy to bow down and latchet his shoe. He's the one that said, he must increase and I must decrease. Now think about that. You know, John wasn't just about increasing Christ. He was actively about decreasing himself. And you know, then you compare that to modern day Christianity. And folks, there's some things, and there's some young preachers that I swear one of these days, I'm not, but I want to get in a plane and I want to go visit them and smack them in the head. I'm so tired of this self-glorification that's happening on social media with all these young preachers, you know, here we go. They got a picture of their Bible. Pray for me, you know, this fake humility. Pray for me for the power of God. I'm about to go preach a revival at such and such church and then post it about yourself, okay? Whatever. Young people, don't get caught up in that nonsense. That's ridiculous. It's silly. It's foolish. It's prideful. And I think the worst kind of pride is the pride that's masked by false humility. Okay. You know, whatever. People got to do what they got to do. But listen, let's just make sure this. You know what? How about this? Why don't you promote Christ and why don't you diminish yourself? Okay, why don't you be more worried about how many people like him instead of how many likes you get? Okay, and if you'll do that in life, you know, I promise you, you'll stay where God can bless you. And so, you know, it's not about me in this church, not about you in this church. Come on. All right, don't become a Diotrephes. Okay, a Diotrephes, always worried about, he wanted the preeminence in the church. He wanted the preeminence in the church. Don't become a Diotrephes. Because, excuse me, look right up here. It's not about you. Okay? It's not about me. It's about him. All right, so let's just keep a humble heart, folks. Let's go over to 1 Peter chapter 4. We'll go to the second one, 1 Peter chapter 4. These are good admonitions for us. I think starting out 2024, the Church of Jesus Christ gathered together on a Wednesday night. Let's just all agree. Let's just look at these verses and all of us shake our head yes and say, you know what? Let's do that this year, you know. Jesus Christ should have preeminence in all in the church in all things. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 11, we read this. 1 Peter 4:11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And it's amazing how many times in the Bible when someone's talking about glorifying God, you know what? The verse ends by amen in itself. You know, it's almost like God, by the way, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And so as God has picked up Peter like a pen and he's writing this verse, he gets down to the end and he's like, Peter, write an amen after that. And he doesn't do that on hardly any other place Peter just write an amen. So when the Bible amens itself, maybe we ought to pay attention to what it said. Amen. In all things, come on, that God in all things may be glorified. And again, I told you we weren't going to spend a lot of time on the first two, but folks, here we go. Jesus Christ should have preeminence in the church in all things. Number two, we should strive to glorify God in all things. And this is especially connected to this idea of ministry. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. Oh, isn't that a blessing? I love that little thought right there. You know what, folks? We got all kinds of different people with all kinds of different talents and all kinds of different gifts. And you know what? When God gathers a church together, he knows how to put the right people in the right place. And you know what? You may say, well, preacher, I can't do this, and I can't do this, and I can't do this. Okay, guess what? There's people in the church that can do that, and can do that, and can do that. What can you do? And you know what? Some of the ones that you're saying, well, I can't do that, they can't do what you can do. And you know, isn't it interesting when God gathers the church together? It's amazing how we just have enough people with enough gifts to take care of enough things that we can keep this thing rolling. And so that's exciting to me. And so as we minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, Let me remind all of us. Do you have a talent? Okay. Guess who gave it to you? You see, you know, do you have an ability? All right. Guess who gave it to you? And by the way, if he's the one that gave it to you, why are you puffed up about it? Okay. I mean, it came from him. Okay, so again, you know, that just helps keeps us grounded here. Why? That God in all things, well, I'm going to read the whole thing again. That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, comma, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And so, oh, we've had a good foundation laid here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I really mean this. It wasn't just my father, but my father waved the banner on this and I think led this. And we got a bunch of people gathered together because I'm just going to let you in on a little secret. In the 50-year history of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, folks that came in to Blessed Hope Baptist Church and they came in thinking, oh, good, I found a church where I can be a big shot. They just didn't stay very long. One of two things happened. They either got that out of their head and out of their heart, you know, let the Bible fix them and got humble and fit right in, or they didn't stay very long. You know why? Because I think we've always had preachers here that just said, hey, you know what? This isn't what this church is going to be about. So you know what? Look right up here. You got another preacher. This is not what this church is going to be about. And so let's give God the glory in all things. Now, let's get down to some real practical things that'll help us. Matthew chapter 7. Let's go over there and see number three. So number one, we have Jesus Christ should have preeminence in the church in all things. Number two, we should strive to glorify God in all things. And then Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 12, you'll find the little phrase there again. Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 12. All right, let me turn the page here. Therefore, all things, here we go. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would do. Stop. Wow, that sounds all inclusive. What do you think? Okay, when God says, therefore, all things whatsoever ye would do, I don't see a loophole here. whatsoever ye, all right, so whatever we're gonna read, we need to take heed to. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Now, men have taken that little truth and maybe they've reworded a little bit over through the years. But folks, all the way back from the foundation of our country, if you look in the early curriculum, one of the things that was taught in every single school in America was something called the Golden Rule. And you know what? Grandma and grandpa believed it. Great grandma and grandpa, I mean, they didn't just believe it up here. They believed it here. And America was a wonderful country. I'm not saying everybody, but when the vast majority of the citizens of a nation really live by the Golden Rule, then you know what? That changes everything. Now, boy, this will help us as a church, because the Golden Rule, here's the truth. The Golden Rule should be applied to all things when interacting with others. And it certainly helps us here in the local assembly. Because before we do something, before we say something, we got to kind of stop a minute and just put ourselves in the other person's shoes for a few minutes, okay? And be real careful about what we say or what we do, because what we need to stop and consider is, okay, how is that going to affect somebody else? All right, so listen, here's the test. Here's the litmus test. All things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you. So here's how you stop and kind of evaluate. How would I like to be treated? Okay, how would I like to be treated? Let's start with us. We're pretty good about, come on, starting with us. So God allows it. He says, start with you for a minute. Let's just kind of stop. How would you like to be treated? How would you like to be spoken about? Okay. How would you like to be talked about? You know? And then he said, okay, however or whatever that is, give that to other people. And it's such a simple thing. Look right up here. We could solve a lot of marriage problems if we just took the Golden Rule into a marriage. Come on, men, let's start with us. Okay, if we start with us, probably we won't have too much problems. It's kind of one of those things where if the men do the right thing, it's easy for the women to follow along. So men, come on, God allowed you to be a leader, then let's lead in this. Okay, you need to stop from time to time, gentlemen, and just kind of consider your wife's point of view, what your decisions are doing to her. Listen, if your wife talked to you the way you talked to her, how would that make you feel? If your wife said some of the things to you that you say to her, how would that make you feel? Come on, folks, this is just kind of common sense stuff. And so if we begin to apply the Golden Rule to the family, and we start in the family and kind of work out into the church, man, it just creates a good situation, you know. And so this not only helps in the family. Come on, kids. Come on. All right. How do you want your brothers and sisters to treat you? Then that's the way you ought to be treating them. Okay. And isn't it amazing? When we start obeying this, it's amazing how it spreads. Okay. Listen, let's love you. Oh, I just want to stand up here sometimes. And by the way, I don't think we have a problem here. But every preacher, if they've got any sense, does preventative maintenance and just says some things from time to time. Blessed Hope, come on, let's love each other. Okay, let's be kind to each other. Okay, let's not talk down other people in the church. Let's not talk about other people in the church. What are we doing? Would you want people doing that to you and your family? Would you want people putting your wife or your children constantly under the microscope and would you want that? No. Then why in the world would you do it to somebody else? And it's such a simple thing. Now, listen, all of the Bible's true, but I was telling the young people this morning, I preached in chapel and I was preaching on the parable of the prodigal son, you know. And I said, you know, we read this, but I said, one of the things that really helped me was to realize that all the truths and all of this story, you know where it originated? It originated in the mind and heart of the Son of God. And these words were spoken out of the lips of Jesus Christ. And so when you read it, thinking about that, I kind of picture myself sitting there. I know the story, but I want to pretend like I don't. And all of a sudden, for the first time, people are hearing him give a parable story. And all of a sudden coming, I don't know why, but me sitting there listening to it coming from the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ makes it so much more powerful. Folks, would you understand? Okay, this isn't Jerry Ross trying to convince you of this. This is not something I invented. This came from the lips of Jesus Christ. And he's looking at his followers and he's saying, whatsoever, listen, therefore all things, whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Wow. Yeah. And it's just like, you know, every time you do that, you're obeying Christ. Yeah. And come on, every time we don't do this, okay, we're disobeying Christ. We're not just not agreeing with Pastor Jerry Ross or ignoring a point, one of the points in a message. This is what Jesus asks us to do. And I just wish and I pray that this is getting real into your hearts. And again, I don't think we have a big problem, but I know all of us sometimes do too much of this. And if we would just put ourselves in somebody else's shoe, say, if I was going through that, how would I want people, what would I want people saying? What would I want people doing? Because throughout 2024, there isn't anybody in this room, any family in this room that's not going to have to go through some things. And so when it's your turn, what would you want people saying? And boy, that'll help you so much. That'll help you so much. Isn't that good? All right, Philippians chapter 2. We're on number 4. Philippians chapter 2. Oh, I tell you, I'm not preaching long enough. I'm being way too kind and considerate and good to you folks, letting you out so early. And I shouldn't say that after last Sunday night, but we had a marathon Sunday night. Thank you. Thank you for hanging in there. Nobody left. I was amazed. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 14. So maybe I'm hurrying subconsciously because I feel like I owe you a little bit. So Philippians 2, verse 14. Wow. Amen. All inclusive. All right. Are we convinced? All things mean. Now, you sure? Did you already peek at it? Because you lost enthusiasm right there. Okay. Are we sure all things mean all things? All right. Simple truth. Look at this. All set off by itself in a single verse. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. And now, those two words, you know, if we're commanded to do all things without something, we need to understand murmurings. You know, my dad used to do this thing where he'd get up here and he'd go murmur, murmur, murmur. You remember him doing that? Murmur, 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 murmur. You know what that is? That's baby talk. No, I don't know where he got that. He probably came out of probably just a Bob Ross thing right there. But, you know, the word murmurings means grumbling. Okay, look, you got the same study guides I have, study helps I have, and you can look up the word, and you know what means grumbling. Now, you know what? That's a tall order for Baptists. Actually, that's a tall order for the human race. Let's take Baptists out of it, because, you know, I think one of the gifts of the Spirit I have is grumbling. I've been trying to convince my wife that it's one of my spiritual gifts, and she doesn't buy in it, you know. But, man, it's kind of like I enjoy it. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm just telling you ahead of time. I'm not really here trying to fix anybody but me on this one, all right? Because, yeah, I mean, it's easy sometimes just to. Now, you know, if there was a loophole, I would preach it tonight. Because I really would like to find a loophole on this. You know, we've got, listen, it's wrong. It's wrong. This is written to the church in Philippi. This is not written to Timothy. This is not written to Titus. This is written to the local New Testament church. So when it's telling the church, do all things. And by the way, we do a lot of things around here. There's a lot of things, a lot of moving parts around here. A lot of people involved in a lot of ministries, a lot of layers to everything. And man, in 2024, just imagine this. And I want you, I know I've had some fun with it, but let's kind of just, can we just at the beginning of the year say, yeah, let's shake our heads on this. And preacher, going forward in 2024, as I go about to serve the Lord in the local New Testament church, let's just get the grumbling out of it. All right. I promise you, I can tell you right now, 2024, as best as we try to organize, best we try to set people up for success, there's never going to be a Sunday where things don't go wrong. In whatever ministry you're in, from time to time, something's going to go off the rails or something's going to happen that probably shouldn't have. And okay, you know, when that thing happens, we can learn from it. We can try to fix it. But since when does grumbling do anything except just kind of spread a bad spirit? You know, okay. So could we just try to attain that? Come on, let's let the Holy Spirit just, you know, really convict me, really convict us. You know, that if I grumble this year, that the Holy Spirit would just kind of say, hey, wait a minute, that's all inclusive. That means about the situation that you're facing right now. That means about something that, you know, didn't go off just right. Okay, let's not do that. And then it says, do all things without murmuring. And then it says, and disputes. And by the way, folks, if you look up this word, the word means discussion. Now, stay with me here a minute, okay? Discussion is the primary English word attached to this word. It can also mean debate, okay? And yet we've kind of convinced ourselves as Americans serving in a Baptist church that every single thing should be discussed and debated. And yet I'm bringing a Bible principle to you that's telling you we don't need to discuss and we don't need to debate everything. It's a really bad habit in your life. Listen to me. When every single thing that the pastor's trying to present and every new ministry we're trying to start and every, that you feel the need that you have to go around to five or six or seven different families and say, well, what do you think about this? Now, again, this word debate and discussion is connected, I think, and tempered with the first word murmurings. I'm not against discussing some things if it's in a positive way. But if you're not careful, that question, well, what do you think about this, is not a positive question, and you're not looking for a positive answer. Okay? And you got to be careful about that. So I'm not going to change the Bible here. When God says basically this, be careful because you can over-discuss and over-debate things and become that person that always has to go around and just kind of make sure that your opinion is heard about everything around here. Okay? After a while, I'm sorry, that's just couched in pride. Okay? You know, as your pastor, you know, starts ministries, and I don't start them because I'm just bored sitting in my room thinking, you know what? What else can we do? The Lord impresses me. A lot of times we see it from a sense of need around here. A lot of times it's from people that are on the front lines working in ministries where, you know what, we begin to discover that there are things that could be done better, whatever, and thank God for input. And I love input. I'm all for that. If there's a better way to do it, you know, run it past me. And it doesn't mean we can always do it, but, you know, a lot of that, there's a lot of good that comes out of that. But, you know, just be careful that you just don't get into the negative aspects of feeling like you need to argue everything, debate everything, and over-discuss everything, okay? Because, again, you know, unless you're reading out of a different Bible than I am, it's an all-inclusive truth, and I believe it insulates the church against division and problems. And so do all things without murmurings and disputings. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4. We were in 1 Peter chapter 4 earlier. We're going to go back to it. 1 Peter chapter 4. And so Jesus Christ should have preeminence in all things, in the church in all things. We should give a strive to glorify God in all things. The golden rule, oh, so important, should be applied to all things when interacting with others. Philippians 2:14. In the performance of our Christian duties, we should strive to eliminate murmurings and disputings in all things. In the performance of our Christian duties, we should strive to eliminate murmurings and disputings in all things. Oh, come on. I don't want to revisit. I want to just stand here. But some of you that got to get on the phone, and you've got to talk to every person about everything, you just really need to stop that. You really do. Okay, isn't it funny that you'll go to people that have no say in it But how come you won't call me? I mean, if you got a real problem with something, you know, my door is open. So if you won't come to the person that could make the changes, then what are you really doing? Okay. So now we're in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 8. Oh, wow. Here we go. Look at this. Okay. Now, wow, there's another word here in front of all things. And what's the next word? Wow. Okay. So now above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. Look what it says next. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Now, that's talking about hiding sin, you know, covering up sin. That's not what it's talking about there. You know, folks, we're all sinful. Okay, we all have bad tendencies. We all have besetting sins. Come on now, you can go like this. That's all of us. That's all of us. Pew and pulpit, we all have things we struggle with. So how can we help a brother that's struggling? How can we help a sister that's struggling? You know, here's what the Bible says. Above all things, you know what? We ought to have fervent. Man, that word comes from the word that means like a fire burning. Something that's burning inside of us, you know, something that's passionate. Okay, so above all things, that puts it up to the top of the list. Have fervent, that talks about the intensity of it, the passion behind it. You ought to have fervent, and that word charity comes from the word agape, the same word that's translated love in a lot of different places in the Bible. A God love, we ought to have a God love. Among who? Among yourselves. And so again, this is something that, you know, what is the result? We find as we study the Bible on this matter of love, it's a result of a fullness of the Holy Spirit. It's a work of the Holy Spirit of God. It is one of the fruits of the Spirit. It's the very first fruit of the Spirit listed. Okay? And so when a person is filled with the Spirit of God, seeking the fullness of the Spirit of God, one of the things that the indwelling Holy Spirit wants to produce in all of us is a fervent love for the brethren. And there's so many verses on this. Jesus said, you know how the world's going to know that you're my disciples? Okay, this is how. This is what he said. You know, because we cut our hair short. It's not what it says. It says, they're going to know you're my disciples when they see you loving one another, that you love one another. This world is a dark, nasty, mean place. It just is. And so, you know, people out in the world, people that are lost, and they're trying to find somebody that really cares. A lot of people will tell them that they care so that they can get what they want out of them and then, you know, throw them to the curb when they're done with them. And that's what they have grown to expect. I'm sorry. And then somebody invites them to church. And all of a sudden, there ought to be something totally different about the relationships in the church house that they'll never find out in that world. And they ought to just come in and say, you know what? You know, the one thing about that place is everybody loves each other. Now, folks, it doesn't mean everybody's perfect. It doesn't mean you have to agree with everybody, but you can love them. You can care about them. You can let them know that you love them. You know, you can reach out. You know, and so loving your fellow Christians, here's the truth. Loving your fellow Christians is above all things in our biblical responsibilities one to another. Now, one of these days I'm going to get around to it. I've studied it out. I put it together. I can't get the green light yet. But one of these days, I want to do a series, Sunday night or Wednesday night, on the little phrase, one another in the Bible, and our responsibilities one to another. And by the way, if you just, you know, I talked to you about going to your computer program and, you know, your Bible program, type in, you know, all things and all the verses. Just type in one another. And you can get ahead of me, and you can study it out. You can figure it out, start working on it. But we have biblical responsibilities one to another in the church of Jesus Christ. You know, we're to serve one another. We're to exhort one another. Listen, we're to forgive one another. There's a whole list of them. But I want to just say that. The above all responsibility, above all those other things, is that we love one another. So I hope that's a help going into a new year. Our last one, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And let's look at the very last verse of 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Very last verse. Okay, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 40. There it is. All things. This again is a verse that's to help govern and keep things right in the local New Testament church. Let all things be done decently and in order. Now, that's a help to our church. Hey, folks, we organize everything that goes on around here. And we try to carry it out in a very organized manner. Like I said, hey, you know what? We'll try something for the first time. We're going to try some ministries for the first time. Hey, preacher, tell me more about this. You said something Sunday night about us giving away free Bibles. And tell me more about that ministry. Well, don't ask me yet because I haven't figured it out quite yet, all right? I'm getting it. It'll be ready by summer, but I mean, I've got the basic premise, but I'll tell you what, by the time we get there, you know, we'll have a sign-up sheet at some point. If you're interested in helping out, you can sign up on what weeks you could be available. Summertime, folks, there's going to be people in and out, vacation. Not everybody's going to be able to do it every week. And by the way, if you're in Operation Occupation or bus ministry, this is a Saturday ministry. So, you know, those folks are already pretty busy doing what they're... So I'm not asking people that are already doing two things to do three. I'd like to see some of you that maybe aren't or can't be involved in that, but you could be involved in this. Jump in. And so we'll have a sign-up sheet. We'll figure out how many folks that we have. We'll figure out then how many locations. And then you know what we're going to do? We're going to give you some instructions, some training on what to do and how to do it. And then we're going to turn you loose. And then I'll probably have a meeting about after the first two or three and say, okay, how's it going? Oh, what's going wrong? What's going right? How do we make it better? And what's your experiences? And give me some testimonies. And then if we can tweak it, and then you know what? We'll do it for the first summer. And then we'll come out of the first summer and we'll have learned some things. And if we choose to do it again down the road, we'll come through it to it, know it a little bit more and probably being able to pull it off a little bit better. And it's kind of the way you have to do things in life, you know? And so, but organization sometimes is being criticized in the local New Testament church. I'm even going to go a step farther, folks. And I, I don't preach down south a lot because they don't really like Yankees. And you think I'm kidding, but I'm not, okay? You know, there's a few places, like next week, Lord willing, I'm going to go down John Ross. You know, my nephew is in Madison, Alabama. Alabama is not beside Michigan. All right, they talk funny down there, all right? I tell Brother Allison, the only reason you invite me every once in a while is so you can have your token Yankee preacher. You just got to have one token Yankee preacher, and that's why I'm here. But, you know, that's the bless your heart crowd down there, you know. Yeah, you say anything about anybody as long as afterward you say bless your heart, you know. And so we have some fun with it. And this isn't true of all Southern churches, but there's something that sometimes I hear them preaching a lot against people that have an order of service. You know, some of these Yankee preachers, some of these Northern churches, they got an order of service. This is what they'll say. They've just organized the Holy Spirit right out of it. And they'll have these camp meetings, and whoever's running the camp meeting, he's up there. He don't have an order of service. He's just sitting there kind of swaying like this. And everybody's looking at him, waiting for God to speak to him. And all of a sudden, he'll get up and he'll say, tell you what, Mrs. So-and-so, God just told me that you need to come up and sing a song. And everybody's like, whoa, God just told him. Wow. For some reason, God can't tell him in his office before the service starts, so he can write it all down on a piece of paper Let the people know in advance so they can be ready to go. Now, I don't care. Hey, you know what? If they want to run their services, but I don't like when it turns into this critical. Folks, listen to me. You know, one of the saddest things is to walk into church that's not organized. Okay, things ought to be organized. Let all things, is there a loophole here? Am I missing it? Be done decently and in order. And that's doing the right things the right way. Decently means the right things. In order means the right way. And so, hey, Sunday school teachers, you ought to be prepared. Come on, bus workers, you ought to be prepared. You know, Brother Jeff came right for the service. He said, hey, he's got these laminated cards. And he said, hey, I want to show you these are the two verses we're going to be memorizing on our bus this year. And I wanted to tell him, Brother Jeff, you know what? You're going to organize God right out of it. You're supposed to get on your bus and just start swaying, you know, flipping through the Bible. Ooh, look at that. All right, if they want to do their thing, do their thing. But I'm just saying, listen, folks, we can go to King James Holy Bible and we can make sure that what we're doing is based on godly principles, or we can get into this borderline. Come on, that's Pentecostal stuff. I'm sorry. Let me just tell you where they're getting that. They've watched too much of the 700 Club. All right. And what they need to do is get back to the Bible and just figure out that it is not. Listen, not only is it not wrong to have things organized and planned, it's wrong not to, because that's what this verse is telling us to do. And so again, if the Holy Spirit can tell you on the platform, I suppose he could tell you. I had a guy come to me the other day, not the other day, a few months, about a year ago, and I'd preached out. It all runs together. You young people are laughing at me. You'll understand. All the old people are like, and all the young people are like, and all the young people, yeah, I'm with you, preacher. And he came to me, and I had preached in this meeting, and I was back there in the foyer, and he walks up, this other preacher, and he's like, I notice you use a lot of notes when you're preaching. I said, yes, sir. Yep, I do. And he said, you know, I don't preach out of notes. I said, really? He said, no. And I said, so you don't believe the verse in the Bible that says, study to show thyself approved unto God? He said, well, I just believe in letting the Holy Spirit tell me what to say. And I said, he can't tell you in the study? I said, look at me. Don't come to me with this hyper-spiritual, critical attitude. I said, you're lazy. You're a lazy preacher. You don't want to put the time in, so you're up there just saying everything that pops in your head. And why don't you get back in the Bible, and why don't you start studying the Bible and preparing a message so that you can properly feed your flock? And then, you know what his instant reaction was, Levi? He said, well, sometimes I use sermon notes. All right, whatever. You say, preacher, you're just mean. No, I'm just old. And there'd have been a time 30 years ago, when about time I was your age, I'd have went there and go, oh, yeah. You know, now I'm just like, you know what? I ain't ever going to see you again. Don't bring me stupid, all right? Come on, old people, come on. All the young people are, oh, and the old people are like, yeah, amen, preacher, amen. So, you know. But I did want to let you know that I loved him while I was talking to him, okay? I loved him. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd bless the preaching and teaching of the Bible. Use it in our hearts, Lord. And Lord, we're all so flawed. And Lord, we need your help in all of these things. If we try to follow these principles without the help of the Lord Jesus Christ, without the guiding of the Holy Spirit, Lord, keep us just surrendered and spirit-filled. And Lord, overcome our shortcomings and our weaknesses and our tendencies. And Lord, just help us to be more obedient to the Bible, more pleasing to you, and so that we can have more of an impact for the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' name.